Baie dankie, Dominee. En dankie vir almal wat gekom het. Ek is baie dankbaar. We must still get this place full though. So all of you must pray for that. In faith. We got two more meetings. In Jeremiah 9 verse 3, God cries out through his book to be valiant for the truth. That means courageous. To be courageous, valiant for the truth. Jeremiah 9 verse 3. Are you? Are you in this world? Be courageous for the truth and be counted among those who have hazarded their lives for Christ. Have you? Be counted among those who have hazarded their lives. Encourage, done things that have hazarded their lives. Will you ever be counted among those who have hazarded their lives for Christ? Acts 15, verse 26. I have met many great men of God in this world. I've had the privilege of meeting, by God's grace, not that I'm important, but by the mercies of God, I have preached in their pulpits, in their conventions, and I have seen in the meetings where I've preached men that I never would have believed God would bring to hear this old man preaching from when I was very younger, but even now. I remember a very great preacher, a very famous preacher, pulling me aside and saying some very astonishing things that night to me. I said to him, "How were you saved?" He looked at me for a while, because I diverted from everything he was speaking about. I said, "How are you saved?" And what he said that night shook me deeply. He says, "I was a drunk. I was married with little children, but my wife and my children feared, because when I drank alcohol, I became aggressive and violent, and I physically would hit people. Now, on my way back from my work, I would stop at this pub, the bar, where all these men who think this is happiness, standing there drinking and swearing and cursing and speaking rubbish, telling filthy jokes. And that was my life, especially Friday nights, coming back with pay. I would go there and drink myself, and, well, when I went to my home, my children normally had locked the door and hiding under the beds. My wife was fearful of me because I was aggressive. In the pub, I often used to beat people up, just get hitting people. I was a terrible man under the influence of drink. Now, this man is a very big man. I don't know if you've seen his photographs, but when you stand next to him, you can't believe the size of the man. He's big. Here he drinks his way in his unsaved days. And he said one night, something astonishing happened. Here we were drinking, all these men laughing and thinking, this is it, you know. This is the best of life, the best life can give me. Get drunk and be with these foul-mouthed, blasphemous, filthy-mouthed people. Most of all, who's most of their families fearing them walking back home in the state they're going to get. Suddenly, the door of the pub of the bar opened, and a little girl stood inside with a Bible in her hand. She was in the Salvation Army uniform. Everyone knew that she came through that door not for sin. She had this in her hand and her heart. And he said, as she stood there, she began to cry out, but she had memorized verses of the Bible. She didn't cry out anything else. She looked fearful. With a loud voice, as loud as she could, she cried out of God's salvation, of God's coming judgment on sin and those who will not repent, and how Christ died for all men. She cried out from the scriptures of the judgments of God, from the King James, the old English Bible. There she crying out, standing in the doorway. One man took a bottle as the others began to swear and curse. Get out! Get out! You don't belong here. This is not the place. Get out! One man took a bottle. He was so drunk. And he threw it at her. It smashed behind her. Another man grabbed a bottle. And tears came down her face. But she didn't walk out. She didn't walk out. She just stood there and tried to speak loud again just to carry on. And the swearing and the cursing at her. And this other man now with his bottle, I stopped him. And I looked at this girl. And I walked off. And I said to her, I've never seen anyone in my life so courageous. I never would have believed anybody had the courage you have. You must have something very, very important that you need to share to us. Or you would never have stood with all this blasphemy, all this swearing, all this cursing. I want to hear what you had to say. He picked her up. He was so big he could pick her up like a feather. He marched over to the pub where the bartender stands the other side dishing up the drinks. He put her on top of it. Here she's standing on top of the pub, on the counter. And he turned to all these men. Now, he's a big man. He still had his bottle in his hand, by the way, when he went over to her. And he said, you keep quiet. If anyone says one word, I will crush him. You understand? I'll smash you. You keep quiet. No, he turns to this little lady on the counter. You tell us what you came here to tell us with such courage. This little girl stood there. It's a terrible pulpit, isn't it? The pub counter where drink normally is all served. And here she's standing, Bible in her hand and in her heart, and the army uniform. And she was young. The tears were coming down her eyes for what they had done and the way they cursed her. But she stood there and started quoting the scriptures again. Quoting of the judgments of God. Quoting of God that he will return in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. God says, she went on with the judgments of God, quoting of the terrifying judgments of God upon all who will not turn from their sins, and then crying out to them how Christ died on the cross for all men, who will have all men to be saved, who will have all men to be saved, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, who gave himself a ransom for all, a payment. She cried out to these men. And as she was crying, this man was so moved, so shaken, he was trembling in fear. Under God's word, through a little lady who had the courage to believe she had the right.
That most men in earth would never have that courage. So God found a little lady.
He took her, come here. He took her down. He put her on the ground. No one was speaking. Everybody was looking fearfully after what they had heard. He knelt beside her, this big man, crying in fear and conviction because he had never heard this in his life. And he said to her, I want to be saved. I want to find what you came to tell us. Help me. She went on her knees beside him. Help me to know what to pray. I want God to save me from this. And from hell. This little lady prayed, and he prayed after her and prayed, crying out to God from his heart. Now only God can do it. No one can do it for you. But suddenly that man knew, in a pub on the floor with drunkards all around him, that man knew God had not rejected him. He stood up with an incredible peace that he had never believed a human could have. He was so staggered at how this peace flooded his heart. He took her hand and said, come with me. He walked out of the pub, down the street, walking, almost dragging her to his front door. His wife opens. He gets his children out from their room. He calls them, sits them in the lounge, and he tells them what happened, what this little girl did, what this young lady did, and how he gave his life to Christ. And then he said to her, every single thing you said in that bar, every scripture, everything you said, tell my family. I want them all to get saved now with me tonight. You tell them and don't leave anything out. This little girl started crying these scriptures out and everything she could. From the Holy Scriptures, from the heart of God to every soul. Because he tasted death for every man. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance through Christ. Well, the whole family began weeping. The whole family, his whole wife and his children, got down on their knees and gave their lives to Christ. He became a preacher and a great preacher. Hallelujah. But these verses, be courageous for the truth. Jeremiah 9 verse, be valiant for God's truth and be counted among those who have hazarded their lives for Christ. I don't say you must go into a pub. You could get badly hurt.
But what I am asking you tonight is, when did you show courage in this world for God? Tell God now. When did you stand up? If a little girl could do that, what have you done for God anywhere where it took courage, where you counted among them which hazard their lives for Christ, where you just even were willing to be embarrassed?
When did you do it? To be counted among them who've hazarded their lives for Christ, and be valiant, be courageous for the truth that God cries out to our hearts through the sacred book. Here was this little Salvation Army girl, General William Booth. In the 1800s, late 1800s, as a young boy of 15, he cried out to God in a way that I believe moved heaven and shook hell. He cried from his soul, God shall have every part of William Booth's life from this moment till I die. God shall have every part of William Booth's life from this moment till I die. God heard that. Booth, as a young boy seeking to serve God and bring people to Christ, he looked at the poverty in the streets of the towns of England, the drunks. He looked at the criminals, the thugs, everybody living in fear. There was such lawlessness. And Booth said staggering words.
He said, I have seen human misery everywhere I look, such human misery that it will take my life. It will become my life's work
He dedicated his life there and then, looking at all the outcasts of society who would never ever enter a church and would never be allowed in a church.
Even evangelical churches would be reluctant to allow anyone like that to sit next to them. Throughout Britain and much of the world, Booth said. He shook the world, Booth. He said the church, the evangelical church, worldwide, was never meant to sit in padded chairs in beautiful buildings, comfortable singing of the salvation and the death of Christ. The church should be an army marching down the streets to reach the broken, smashed, crushed lives who they would not welcome in their church if they're honest, who they would feel uncomfortable sitting next to. And the masses are on the streets, the masses are frowned upon and bypassed and don't want them near your church. You just want comfort. Oh, he shook the church. Worldwide was angry. There was such anger that rose up against William Booth. There was from the pulpits across Britain and across much of the world denouncing him, condemning him for what he was saying, condemning him for his condemnation and his confrontation to the church worldwide, especially Britain. Booth went out in the streets and he picked up broken, crushed drunkards. Anyone that showed any interest, he would carry them. He would make others carry them. He would house them. He would clothe them. He would feed them. And he'd pray them through till they stood for God. And one after the other came until there were multitudes. There were multitudes everywhere through Britain. And Booth did something that staggered the church. He said, "We are an army, not the people sitting there in those beautiful buildings. This is the army of God." He put an army uniform on them, like a general army. He was General William Booth with the general's medals and colors. And he led that army. As they grew, thousands, thousands, first hundreds, he would lead them in every town down the streets. These drunks, these tramps, drugged, these gangsters, these thugs, these evil criminals that came to Christ. He put a uniform on them, put a Bible in their hand and said, this is our only weapon. And this is all we need to defeat the devil, because there's no soul God cannot reach through this book. He put an army uniform on the ladies who were prostitutes. That shook every community. Eventually, it was such a staggering thing that when Booth went into a city or a town across Europe and in other countries, the first thing he said, "Take me to the brothels where the prostitutes who sell their bodies to stay alive and defile themselves, where men betray their name, betray their honor, betray their wives, their children. With these women, everywhere, everywhere, brothels. Unchecked by the law, Booth would march to the brothels. He never went in. But he had a voice. He never, ever needed a loudspeaker. Those days it was seldom you found one. Booth had a voice that pierced. They say it's so pierced it just went carried. Oh, Whitfield had the same voice, it seemed. They had no loudspeakers, and thousands could hear him clearly, who gathered and said, "Oh, here Booth was." And he stood outside of the brothels, and they said he cried, but all he did was quote the scriptures, like that little Salvation Army girl. All he did was stand there and quote the salvation of God, the condemnation and warnings from God of the damnation to come. And he cried with his piercing voice. And this became something that became known across Britain and then later on many countries. It didn't take long as his voice was carried through the rooms of these places as he stood there. They say Booth never preached without tears pouring down his face. He had a broken heart for the lost.
He had a crushing burden, a compassion that only the Holy Ghost could put in a totally yielded life from the age of 15, and now nurtured with the knowledge of the Scriptures and the knowledge of the power of the Scriptures, the power of the gospel of Christ from the lips of man. No matter how weak that man is, so long as he's courageous to give God's word wherever he goes, he cries. And they said every single brothel, there was not one where Booth had marched. Eventually, the ladies would come out. They didn't run away. They came out and knelt all around him, wanting to give their lives to Christ. And many of the men betraying their name, betraying their honor, their decency, their self-respect, betraying everything, betraying their families. Many would come out and kneel with these women, all weeping under conviction that only the Holy Ghost can work in a man through a man that lets the Holy Ghost use him. Who was willing to let the Holy Ghost use him, even a place like that where most preachers would say, never, no. But Booth was unique. Booth was rare in this world's history. And he shook the powers of hell. And he shook the church worldwide to awaken them. As seldom has the church, the true church of Christ, been wakened up in its conscience. Because soon they began to go out on the streets doing the same. And it never was lost what began there. Many multitudes of the evangelical churches have the thrust to this day, but it all started, it seems, then. It all began then when there was the whole lot out for God. Oh, Booth did something wonderful. Booth was on the front pages of the newspapers right across the whole of Britain and UK. There was a different war that normally would ever get to the front pages. But now the newspapers, photographs of Booth and his army marching down the streets with trumpets, drums, former drug addicts, former drunks, former prostitutes, thugs, criminals, all marching with the Bible. And all marching, many with drums and trumpets. And he made them sing, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war." And as he passed the churches, many times the whole church walked away from the preacher in the pulpit and out to look, many weeping with hearts condemned as he marched these people. How could you condemn a man that was reaching them? How could you carry on condemning? Soon the condemnation stopped. Soon the newspapers ridiculing him stopped. Soon the voices from the pulpits against him condemning him as unethical and not the right way, working to a church. No, the condemnation went because these thousands became hundreds of thousands in these army uniforms. Mostly from the gutters, mostly from the prostitutes, mostly drunks, mostly the people who would never walk through the door because they would have been turned away. One day, Muth took an army of men, a squadron, he calls it. So here they walked to a part where no one went who was decent. The police would never, ever venture where he was now walking. And everyone knew where he was going, where all the mafia head of much of the world gathered and were housed. Police would not stay alive going there. They knew it, no policeman ventured. Booth marched these men, and everyone knew where they were going. The mafia boss, the most feared man in the entire of the UK, and I would say Europe at that time. Booth, as he marched, they came down, realizing what's going on. These thugs with big batons, smashing their heads. Men just lay. They even took a big thing of coal burning in this half steel thing to keep warm. And these bad people, who these thugs picked up and threw over a smashed on his body, burned to death. after they'd battened him, that blood just flowed. Oh, more soldiers lay dead. But Booth marched on, weeping aloud. We march on! Where do you find such courage on earth in history? Eventually they were coming, smashing them, spitting them, cursing, punching them, pushing them down, kicking. Oh, those that survived and hadn't run, but stood with Booth outside of this house. They stood there weeping, most of them.
And Booth cried out as he wept for the souls of these wicked men to be saved.
He cries out the scriptures that the Holy Ghost needs those men to hear that they'd never heard in their lives. And as he cries out,
there was a group of men who ran out of there, which were the mafia bosses, the leaders, the most feared men, the most cruel men, murderous men. And as they ran out there, they looked at Booth. They surrounded this little group that was still with him. And the one was beaten and lay dying. Blood flowing that it came, they say, onto Booth, onto his boots. And then, as he still weeping aloud, cried out for his voice to get through to those men in that building, and that voice would pierce through. It carried, and God made sure he had that voice. God made sure he had that voice and that love that God had when he hung on the cross. Knowing our sin, he died for us, knowing their sins. He died for all men, knowing all men's wickedness. God's love was in that man. Suddenly the mafia boss ran out with men surrounding him, six men, comes down to him and curses him and curses Christ and curses God and curses with the filthiest language on earth, hating him for what he was doing, for what he did, hating what he even saw was happening. And as he cursed, he spat on William Booth's face in the most corrupt, evil way. Oh, cursing him. Bow. The other men began spitting on Booth and then spitting on these other soldiers. Spitting on these other soldiers. Spitting all around them, spitting in their faces. Mocking them. Cursing them. The one man standing next to Booth began to cry aloud, hollering in fear. Oh. Booth looked at him. The wicked mafia boss looked at him, crying in fear, and this man, covered in spittle, began to wipe off the spit, and Booth looked, and Booth grabbed his arm. He grabbed his arm and said, "No, no, brother, don't wipe it off. These are medals. These are medals to a true soldier of God. Don't you wipe them off now." Booth was weeping, at times uncontrollably, as he stood in front of this man. He said, "I hate your sin, but I love your soul, and I don't want you to go to hell. God hates your sin, but God loves your soul." And he quoted verses. "He died for you, knowing what you would do today, knowing what you would be. He wants to save you for eternity." And his mafia boss fell on his knees and began to sob. "How could you not break with such love to such wickedness?" Booth knelt beside him, and he prayed with him to be saved. And the man prayed from his soul weeping for God to have mercy on him and to save his soul from hell. All the mafia, seeing this man, went on their knees, and they prayed with all of them to be saved. They were all put in prison.
They were all tried and sentenced to death, to be hung. They all died by the law for their wickedness. But Booth said to them in their prison uniforms,
"You don't need this. You're as much of the army of God as us who stand in this uniform. That uniform is yours in the prison where you stand. You have to lead every soul you can to God while you're still alive and before you hung." Those men did because of who they were. The prisoners in mass, they say, just turned to God in fear as they saw this man, these men. They came to God as these men pled with them to give their lives to Christ. The warders, the police, one after the other, just breaking before God as they saw the chains, the shining faces, the peace, the Bibles. That all they wanted was the Bibles Booth had given them. That shook England. That shook Europe. And that shook much of the world in the headlines of those days. As that news went around the whole world's church. Who liked to bury such things? Today. Booth stood with these men as they were hung. And all he did was quote scriptures and pray with them as they died. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. God promises. If you're saved. When Booth was old, it hadn't preached for a good while, the army worldwide now, in the most amazing way, some only hundreds, some thousands, some scores of thousands marching down the streets. The church was awakened worldwide through the Salvation Army. He said, "We're not a church. A true church are the blood-washed, repentant sinners who sit in those churches. But everyone who sits there that is not repentant and blood-washed and saved will never be accepted by God, though they're in church and accepted by the churches." Booth stood in what was to be his last occasion that he would ever speak, in a very large conference as people came across the Atlantic to hear him. There were multitudes, there were throngs and throngs of people to hear the old general. There he stood, helped to stand there in front of a microphone this time, in his old age, in the early 1900s. He died in 1912. But his last sermon, there he stood with his long white beard, shining face and tears, always tears. Most preachers have never had tears once in the pulpit to the souls they speak to. Booth had it every time he preached. A broken heart, full of love. And there he stood in the army uniform, the general, the founder of the Salvation Army of God. Across his body was a great big ribbon in gold. Red with gold letters, blood and fire. Blood and fire. There was a deathly silence as he looked out at the multitudes who had gathered to hear what he also knew would be the last occasion. And he said these words. It wasn't long that he spoke, it was short. "I give you the right and welcome you to use the Salvation Army uniform. If you have truly repented from all sin, and God has delivered you and made you a new creature in Christ, if you are washed in the blood of God, washed in the blood of Christ, and you're saved, and your life is transformed, old things have passed away, old things become new," Booth said. "And if your life is dedicated on the throne of God,
on the altar of God an absolute surrender, whereby God cleanses your heart, a heart made clean by blood. They were filled with the Spirit, their hearts being cleansed by faith.
For if that is not the case in your life, you will soon bring shame on the name of Christ, even though you have the army uniform. I beg you to be sure you're saved, and to be sure you're filled with God the Holy Spirit, because you have a heart made clean by blood. I do not say to anyone here tonight that you can go and get beaten up, that men lie dead beside you. That is something of a rare calling of men who hazarded their lives for the gospel and for Christ's sake. Of men who were valiant, courageous for the truth to the degree that William Booth and his soldiers were, and even that little lady was at the beginning of the sermon in that pub.
I do not say you must do this, but what I would like to say to you as we close this meeting,
have you ever in this world become known anywhere to anyone as a man or a woman who knows Christ and is valiant, courageous for the truth everywhere they go, and have hazarded your lives to be counted among them which have hazarded their lives for Christ and this gospel? Very few will preach on these things today. As the church sits in comfort generally, with no grief, no broken hearts, and not driven to those who God died for.
We have two nights. Noctuia Dienstag. What will you do to get souls here? Nothing?
Though such men and women lived?
Nothing.
Oh, don't lose the moment left you've got of life. Because when you die, and that's very, very soon for many of us, you never have 1 second to try and win a soul again for all eternity. Don't lose the moment you've got, for God's sake. Kan ons allemaal staan asseblief. Môre aand 7:00. Asseblief kom, asseblief bid. Bid vir die boodskap. Bid vir die Heilige Gees te werk met krag in elke hart. Bid vir u eie hart. En bid vir siele. En vra die Here om u te lei. Wie hy wil, wat hy moet uitnooi. En kan, as u gewillig is. Are you? Well, Satan's watching and he will see even if we don't. And God's watching and he will see. Even the way you walk out of that door, everyone will know how deep this message has affected you. If you're not saved, for God's sake, come and sit in the front row when the others leave. And anyone that sits here, if it's a lady, A lady will come and pray immediately. A soul winner will rush for the privilege of praying for a soul to be saved for eternity from hell and from a wasted life. Oh, and if it's a man will run to you wherever you sit as the others leave. Domine, will you please commit us to Christ in prayer? Dank u.
Onze dierbare Hemelvader, ons kan maar net in hierdie aand vir u die lof en die aanbidding kom gee. Daar in Efesiërs hoofstuk 3 skrywe Paulus, geseend is die God en Vader van ons Here Jesus Christus wat ons geseën het met al die geestelike seëninge in die hemele in Christus. Here, daardie seëninge is nie seëninge wat ligtelik opgevat word nie. Hy skryf verder en praat hy van die vergifnis, hy praat van die verlossing. Hy praat van al die fasette van hierdie pakket wat ons in Christus ontvang het. En hoe wonderlik is dit, Here, om vanaand voor U te kan buig, maar Here, ons eie harte voor U neer te sit en vir U te sê, Here, kom wys vir ons ons eie harte. Here, dat ons eie harte aan ons openbaar word, sodat ons sal verstaan die diepte van dit wat Christus bedoel het toe hy na hierdie aarde toe gekom het om te sterf aan 'n kruis. Here, as U gekom het om te sterf aan 'n kruis sodat ons kon bly soos wat ons was, dan het U verniet gesterwe. Maar Here, U het gesê daar in die woord in 2 Korintiërs hoofstuk 5 dat ons nie meer vir onsself sou lewe nie, maar vir U wat vir ons gesterf het. En dit vat 'n algehele oorgawe. Dit vat 'n totale commitment om alles aan die voete van die Lam van God neer te lê. In Openbaring val die 24 ouderlinge voor die troon voor die Lam van God neer. Want alles begin by die Lam en alles eindig by die Lam. Here, daarom is ons hier vanaand om ons eie lewe in aanskou te neem, om die Lam daarmee te eer, want hy het sy lewe vir ons gegee. Here, dit was 'n duur prys. Laat ons dit nie goedkoop maak nie. Laat ons dit nie eenvoudig maak nie, maar dat ons besef wat het dit hom gekos. Dit was 'n duur prys. Baie dankie, Here, dat U vir ons seën om ook môre aand weer hier by mekaar te kom en mense saam te nooi. Paulus sê die liefde van Christus dring my. Dit stoot my, dit beweeg my. Dit stel my in staat. Ek kan nie anders as om hier te wees en mense te nooi om saam met my hier te wees. Dit is die liefde wat in ons eie harte behoort te leef. As ons vanaand met eerlike harte sou sê, ons behoort aan U. Baie dankie, Here, vir die woord, dat U het seën, en dat die nagedagtenis van hierdie woord ons in hierdie aand sal wakker hou, Here. En dat die Heilige Gees met ons elkeen werk. Seën dit, word U verheerlik in Jesus se naam. Amen.
Amen.